Well, we do welcome you back tonight. Trust you've had a good afternoon. It's been already a wonderful Lord's Day here at Countryside. A lot of fellowship and study and a lot of wonderful times together. But it's our joy tonight to have a baptism service. If you're here tonight as our guest, we welcome you. And if this is your first time, we're glad you've come. After the baptism service is over, I'll be out in the auditorium somewhere out here, and I'd love to meet you. You come down, introduce yourself. We're glad you're here. Perhaps you came because you knew that we were going to have a baptism service. Someone that you know is going to give their testimony tonight. Or maybe you didn't know in God's providence. You just happened to be here on this night. You're in for a real treat because we have the privilege of hearing from several people their story, how the Lord brought them to truly know Him. I know you're going to be encouraged by what you hear. Let me start by just reminding us of what it is we're doing here. First of all, you need to know that those who will be baptized are already followers of Jesus Christ. They have already become His disciples. How? By believing the gospel, the good news. There's so many places in the scripture where the good news is recorded, but my personal favorite has to be 2 Corinthians 5:21. There, Paul describes the gospel as a great exchange. My sin for Jesus' righteousness. My guilt for His perfection. Here's how he puts it. He says, this is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart in that passage. He said, this is the heart of the message of reconciliation that we proclaim. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Instead, at the very end of that chapter, he says, here's the heart of it. God the Father made Christ, who knew no sin. Christ, His only Son, came into the world as one of us. He added to His full deity, complete humanity, and He lived a perfect life. There was no sin in Him. Not one sinful thought, not one sinful word, not one sinful act. For 33 and a half years, he perfectly obeyed God. But at the cross, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. That doesn't mean Jesus somehow became sin itself. He's referring to something the Bible speaks of as imputation, that is, crediting. On the cross, God the Father credited to Jesus' account all the sins of every person who would ever believe in Him. It's as if, you know, Pilate wrote on the cross the charge. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It's as if God Himself wrote on the cross, my sins. And if you're a believer, your sins. And if you will ever become a believer, all of your sins, that's why Jesus died. On the cross, God credited our sins to Christ. And there on the cross, God treated Jesus as we deserve to be treated forever. God turned His back on His own Son. You remember Christ cried out in the darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't because of His sin. It was because of the sins of every believer who would ever come to faith in Him. God treated Jesus as if He had lived our sinful lives. That's half of the transaction. God treated Jesus as if He had committed our sins. And He goes on to say that He did that in order that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's the other part of the exchange. You see, on the cross, God credited my sin to Jesus. And then when I believe, He credits Christ's perfect righteousness to me. So Christ gets all of my sins and He gets treated as though He committed them on the cross. And when I believe in Christ, God credits all of Christ's perfect righteousness to me. And now He sees me as if I had lived that perfect life. So the gospel really comes down to this. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if He had lived my sinful life so that forever He could treat me as if I had lived Jesus' perfect life. That's the gospel. And that's what those who come tonight to be baptized have believed. God has changed them. They're not the people they used to be. And that's what baptism represents. There's no magic in this water. It's a picture. It's a picture of the reality that the person they used to be died. That's what happens when I put them under the water. It's as if that person doesn't exist anymore. And they have been raised when I bring them up out of the water to new life in Jesus Christ. They're a new person. They've been given a new heart. God has put his spirit within them. He's at work in them. They now have a relationship with God, their creator. That's what's pictured in baptism. The spiritual reality that has already happened. So I hope you'll be encouraged as you hear each of them share that same gospel from their own perspective, their own lives, their own life story. I hope you'll pray for them as they come now to share their testimonies with us.
Hi, my name is Sam Walker. I grew up in a Christian home and have been surrounded by Christianity my whole life, but I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus, and my faith was my parents' faith. I didn't know God, and I was not saved. I was at Vacation Bible School, and we were talking about the need for salvation. I was about 8 years old, and I remember being convicted by the fact that I was an imperfect person. I knew that I was a sinner, and I could not live a perfect life, and that I needed Jesus to save me from my sins. As Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." At that time, I recognized the sacrifice Jesus made for me by taking the penalty for my sins and dying on the cross in my place. I know that I am a sinner and I will never be perfect, but I put my faith in someone who is. And as Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." After becoming a believer, my life has changed over time. As I've gotten older, my relationship with Jesus has grown and developed. I feel a peace over circumstances I would have never before. I've seen all the ways that God has directed my steps and has worked the most difficult parts of my life into the most growth. A verse that has resonated with me was Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Before, I would put my value into what others thought of me or how good I was at something. But I know now that my value is found in who God says I am, and that has brought me an immense peace. As Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Growing my relationship with Jesus is something I try to do daily. I start my day in the Word and try to prioritize growing in my prayer life. When I listened to Tom's message on baptism, I was convicted and now want to follow the ordinance given to us in the Bible to declare the transformation Jesus has made in my life.
Well, Sam, thank you for sharing your story with us. As you mentioned in your testimony, because you have repented of your sins and you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore your sins in his own body on the cross, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Violet Novak. I grew up in a small church in Minnesota. At age 12, I went to a Bible camp where I witnessed the work of God. In the middle of a sermon about how God sometimes allows us to be in perfect storms so that we depend on him, clouds rolled in, thunder cracked, and rain poured hard. In awe of the Lord, I started calling myself a Christian, believing in the triune God. But I did this before fully understanding what my faith was. I fell into sin, and I would go through phases of feeling close to Jesus and then being too guilty to face him. I tried to rely on my own strength to build a relationship with the Lord and failed. About a year ago, I had started going back to church, trying again to rely on my own strength. In the midst of a perfect storm of my sin, I turned to my friend, trying to figure out where I was going to go with my life. She told me that she thought my goal and purpose was to pursue God and heaven. That moment changed everything. I immediately knew that I hadn't been living in a way that reflected that, and that I'd never fully submitted to Jesus. I realized that my sins were too much for me to handle alone, and that I was making decisions that were destroying my life. I cried out to the Lord for salvation. I repented of my sins and asked for forgiveness. As Joel 2:32 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I had been under this illusion that after enough sins, I didn't deserve a second or third or hundredth chance. But the Lord forgave me when I cried out to him, not because of any good that I have ever done, but by his grace. Jesus paid the price of forgiveness, dying as innocent on the cross. I had to acknowledge that God is sovereign over me and bigger than the guilt and the weight of my sins. Since I came to Christ, God has renewed my heart and grown me in patience, gentleness, and self-control. He has been so gracious and loving and has called me to be obedient in his will. When temptation arises, I lean on his strength and abide in him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:10 through 11, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I cultivate my walk with God by reading his word and praying daily. I constantly ask him to find ways for me to serve him and enact his will. One of the ways that I get to serve him is through being an assistant preschool teacher. I'm so blessed to share and teach God's love with my 4-year-old students. This has brought me closer to God and taught me to have faith in his plans. I know that I was a sinner, and as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Lord's perfect love and grace is why I was saved and why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Violet, thank you. We are all moved by hearing how the Lord brought you to not only see your sin, but to see that his grace is greater. And because you have abandoned your own works as any hope of being right with God, but you instead have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is McCall Milton, and this is my testimony. I was born in Guatemala. At the age of 2, my sister Mikkel and I were adopted into a glorious Christian family. As I grew up, I was taught the Bible 24/7 along with my 9 siblings. Although I had this privilege, I took it for granted. I told myself that I would become a Christian when I was old and wrinkly. Meanwhile, I would do what I wanted and wait for the time to come. As it says in Proverbs 21:2, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. I didn't try to hide that I was an unbeliever in my younger years. I was an abominable child. I stole and lied about things that I didn't even need to be lied about. I was the mastermind of my sister's and my schemes. When confronted, I was always quick to put my sister under the bus. It was always about me, myself, and I. At church, I memorized all the verses, not to hide God's word in my heart, but for the accolades and prizes from my teachers and parents. I knew all the questions in Sunday school and even closed my eyes during prayer. During sermons, I would doodle on my notes and count the minutes for the sermon to end. As I grew older, I grew more aware that I wasn't saved. When a ministry-approved peer would ask why I wasn't serving in ministries, I would lie. Lying about not being ready to serve, to not liking kids, I would tell any and every lie except the truth, that I wasn't saved. As I grew up, I grew more disobedient towards my parents and siblings. I hurt my sister's relationships because I was scared that they would leave me to marriage. I was scared that one day everyone would leave me. I never gave a second thought about anyone else. During the spring of 2023, my world seemed to crumble like a cookie. My family went through a very difficult time. Yet while I was feeling constant fear and daily anger because of the situation, I watched my parents grow, show forgiveness, and trust in the Lord over and over again. One night, after a horrible episode, when I was feeling especially hopeless, my brother shared the gospel with me. He told me the same story I heard my entire life, but this time it finally hit me. I was a sinner destined for hell. I had broken God's law, and I deserved every bit of God's wrath coming my way. As it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The one and only way I could ever be right with him would be through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, taking the punishment I 100% deserved. As it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through him, God made a way for me to have a personal relationship with him. After my brother left me, I thought about what he said. I thought back to the past few months. I was sick and tired of being scared, unsure of what the future held. I wanted the peace my parents had. I wanted someone who I could have by my side. I wanted to be a child of the Creator and owner of all, the one who is in charge. I wanted to give all my fears and sorrows to God, knowing that this is all happening for his glory. And he's a sovereign God and just God. No matter what happens, I want to know that he'll be there to strengthen me, to help me, and to uphold me with his righteous right hand, as it says in Isaiah 41:10. I believe that night was when I became a daughter of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now that I'm born again, I yearn to know my Heavenly Father. Listening to sermons was something I hated with a deep passion. But now I love listening to them, to broaden my mind on how great God is. Reading the Bible was always a chore for me to do before, but now reading it is like eye candy. I can't get enough. The verses I memorized before now have meaning to me. Before salvation, taking prayer requests never struck my fancy. But now I love to pray for fellow believers, knowing I have a God that I can come to and have a personal relationship with. As I live life now, I enjoy the smallest things in life, like actual mail thingies called airplanes that fly in the sky. Serving in the church has been absolutely glorious. I tremendously love serving in the orchestra. Serving in Awana and nursery with the little bundles of joy is my absolute favorite. I now treasure the people around me. My siblings and I are our best friends, and I absolutely adore them. Although I don't live perfectly, being a flawed individual, I still strive to love God and his people. As I end, I'd love to read to you a verse from my favorite hymn, How Great Thou Art. And when I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Thou on the cross, my burden, gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. So I'm here to be baptized.
Well, McCall, we are so excited to hear how the Lord used even the difficulties in your life to bring you to the end of yourself, where you saw your Creator, you saw your sin, and you put your trust in Christ. Because he has made you new, because you are a new creation, the old things have passed away and new things have come. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Jack Beckham. I grew up in a Christian household, and my parents faithfully brought me and my three older siblings to church every single week. Throughout my younger years, I never really had any sort of faith in Jesus, but around my eighth grade year, I began to understand the gospel and that I was a sinner in need of a savior. I professed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, yet nothing in my life changed. I was still enslaved to sin, and despite spending time studying my Bible, I had no internal change. When I was a freshman in high school, I began an intense battle with mental health. I figured that this trial would strengthen my faith, and at the beginning felt assured of my salvation because of James 1, 2-4. I spent time in prayer as well as in the Word for months, yet saw no change. As things got worse, I began to question if God was really going to help me. It seemed like the more I prayed and read the Bible, the more distant God became. After a while, I started to become angry with God and wondered why he had seemed to abandon me. After about 6 months of this, I had completely renounced my faith and wanted nothing to do with God. And was running as far and as fast as I could from him. Despite many conversations with close friends who pointed me back to Christ, I found no comfort in him and refused to read the Bible and pray for help. I was nothing more than the fool in Psalm 14:1 who said in my heart that there was no God. However, this past September, I heard a sermon at a youth group that truly revealed to me how depraved I was and that my sin was completely destroying me. I met with a high school small group leader from another church, and he helped me understand that Jesus had saved me not only from affliction but also from sin, as stated in Ephesians 2, 8-9, and Galatians 5, 1. He He also encouraged me to dive into the Word and spend time in prayer. Upon doing this, my life was completely transformed. I repented of my sins and began to pursue Christ earnestly, seeking to honor Him in all that I do, as stated in 1 Corinthians 10:31. I have become closer to God through Bible study and prayer and have become more sensitive to the sin in my life. I seek to study the Word and hide it in my heart, and I rely solely on Jesus to care for me, protect me, and sanctify me. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, I am a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. It is with these thoughts in mind that I have come to be baptized.
Well, Jack, thank you for sharing your story with us. We're so grateful that you have recognized your need of a Savior because you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Caitlin Hagen, and tonight I will be sharing my testimony. Growing up, I only went to church a handful of times with friends and family and never knew the meaning of opening my heart to Christ. In 2019, I really started to struggle with anxiety and depression. I just kind of swept it under the rug as it would come and go. When I started dating my husband, we had conversations about our beliefs. I always knew I believed in God, but never surrendered my life over to Him. After we married in 2022, when we started attending church together, I remember it was the second or third time I was singing in church, and that was the first time I remember the Holy Spirit convicting me of my sin. God started opening my heart, and I slowly started to see the changes. In April of 2024, the depression and anxiety were at an all-time high. Really not knowing what to do, I turned to God. I started reading the Gospels and remember reading Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Life started to take a turn for the better, but in May of 2024, I lost my brother very unexpectedly. In the blink of an eye, my whole world changed. During the next couple of months, life was really a blur, taking one day at a time. But July of 2024, my anxiety and depression were back again. But this time, just like the tax collector, I cried out to God, Luke 18:13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat in his breast and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I realized I was not alone. God was there and always had been. Joshua 1:19. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord our God will be with you wherever you go. I understand that I was a sinner and still guilty before a just and holy God. Romans 3:23. For all I have sinned and fall short of glory of God. I believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son and that He died on the cross for my sins. John 3:16. For God so loves the world that He gave His holy begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. One morning I cried out to God and asked Him to forgive me for my sins. I gave Him all my burdens, all my anxiety, and asked Him to change me. After coming to Christ, my life has changed in many ways. As I am now a new creation, I no longer live in constant fear or have anxious thoughts, and my desires have changed. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends us all understanding, will guard our heart. Your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to get baptized today as an act of obedience to Jesus and understand it as a representation of my new life found in Him.
Well, Caitlin, thank you for letting us know what the Lord has brought you through. And because He brought you to abandon all hope in yourself and like the tax collector in the story you shared, to cry out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because that's the cry of your heart. You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Laura Munson. I was raised in what I assumed was a Christian home. I was baptized as an infant and attended a local Methodist church from a very early age. I was active in the church and I led what I thought was a Christian life. However, I didn't know the Bible and I was sinful. I was not respectful to my parents, was unkind often with my sharp tongue, coveted what others had, and valued money and success. I was a gossip and had sex outside of marriage. I did not know the real meaning of the gospel, and I had no idea how to repent from my sins and rely on the Lord. Also, I rarely prayed except when I needed something. I thought because I was a, quote, good person, believed in God, and attended church that I was saved. In 2006, due to the infidelity of my first husband, I was divorced. Two Christian friends helped me through this difficult time in my life, but also began to lead me in an understanding of the Bible and the gospel. I learned who God is and what Jesus did for me. Then my son began attending a Christian school, and he was saved. We began attending a church that preached more from the scriptures, and I continued gaining knowledge with the help of Bible study and my son. I began to read the Bible and listen to online sermons. In 2017, while walking around Grapevine Lake and listening to a sermon, by the grace of God, I confessed and repented for my sin and truly believed that Jesus died and took the punishment for my sins so that I could be saved. I understood and believed the gospel. I put my faith in Jesus and was reborn. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart of a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Mark 1, 15b. Repent and believe in the gospel. I am a new person since I came to Christ. I still sin, but I have a huge disdain for my sin, and I try not to sin as I walk through life. I ask God to reveal my sin to me so that I can continue to ask for forgiveness and turn from said sin. I no longer covet what others have, and I am content with my life. I consciously try to reflect Jesus in my daily life. I work to love others, but put God above everyone. My greatest desire is to continue my growth and please God. I cultivate my walk with God by consistently attending Countryside, attending classes such as Fundamentals of the Faith, and applying for church membership. I read my Bible and I pray more. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Though still not enough, I really want to learn about God and understand his teaching in the Bible. Recently, I focused on the fruits of the Spirit, knowing I need most to work on patience and gentleness. I strive to be obedient and follow God's commands, and that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Laura, because you have abandoned your own works as a way to be right with God, and because you have instead, as you expressed, you put your faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Gary Jane III. Growing up, I was raised in a Christian household where my family attended church and read the Bible. I had a good knowledge of everything I had been taught, but I had no personal connection to the gospel. As I grew into my early teen years, I felt as though I had been called to be a Christian. Looking back now, it's clear that I had an emotional response to a few powerful messages at a church retreat. Since I was encouraged by my peers and parents, I lived the Christian life for most of high school and was even baptized. Truth be told, my faith was outward, but inwardly, I just wanted to please my parents and my social circle. In time, it became evident that I had no relationship with God, and I had little response to the gospel. My seed had fallen on rocky ground, and as Mark 4:6 states, when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Later in my teen years, I became more defiant of God. I would think, speak, and act in ways that were ungodly when no one was watching, while simultaneously maintaining my outward appearance as a Christian. Like the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 28, so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Things got worse when I joined the Marine Corps and was now around people who had no moral expectation of me. While my parents continued to encourage me to pursue God, I eventually admitted to them that everything I had claimed was either a lie or because of my desire to please them. At that point, the act was over, and I no longer even felt the need to pretend to be godly around them. My life was how the Apostle Paul describes man in Romans 3, 13 through 18. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. During this time, I met my now wife Angel in the summer of 2021. Soon after, we chose to get married in the spring of 2022. Throughout the last 2.5 years, God has blessed me with a great marriage despite my rebellion. As David says in Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. I did my best to lead my household in the way that I was raised, but this was, of course, all on a weak foundation, as it was built upon what I knew from being a kid and not the foundation of Christ. As I grew into being a husband and father, my sinfulness continued. My anger and bitterness towards those around increased daily. The anger consumed me like a fire, and I felt as if it was my right to pass judgment on to others and speak down upon anyone who I perceived as less than. I would even attempt to justify this anger as righteousness. This anger was a definitive part of who I was for most of my adult life. Within the last few months, my wife had expressed a desire to go to church. She had attended church for some time before we met, but also walked away from it like I did. During this time, I wanted to be supportive of her interest, even though I felt no real need to do so for myself. She chose to attend Countryside, where my parents had been members, and where we had gone occasionally when invited as a courtesy to them. While I didn't loathe going to church, I wasn't enthusiastic about it either, because I knew deep down that I would be confronted with my sinfulness. Throughout our weekly attendance, I would sometimes feel the Spirit tugging on my heart, but I did my best to resist. I didn't want to change my ways. I wanted to dwell in my anger and feel justified in whatever behavior I saw fit for myself. As time went on, Pastor Tom began reading through Matthew, and the Spirit began pulling me harder and harder. Since I grew up in the church, I heard the story of Christ's life and the gospel countless times, but I had never truly considered just how special it was. When Pastor Tom preached about the visit of the Magi in Matthew 2, I felt like such a fool. These wise and powerful men fell down and worshiped the newborn king with little knowledge of what was to come. But here I was, with full knowledge that Christ had died for my sins, thinking I could be the God of my own life. How foolish. In that moment, it became obvious to me that I too needed to fall down and worship Jesus, for he was always deserving of such praise. 1 Peter 2:24 states that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That night, I prayed to God for the first time in nearly 10 years, and I asked for his forgiveness and surrendered my heart to him. Now, despite my shortcomings, I have become justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, as proclaimed in Romans 3:24. No longer a slave to sin, I feel his saving grace every day. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:14, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I have also begun to feel the great comfort of spending time with my Creator in the scripture that he authored as a way for me to know him and become more like his Son. I regret that I wasted the last decade of my life worshiping myself and other idols, but I am thankful that he called my name when he did. I wish to raise my children in faith and lead my household to serve the Lord. I understand that I am forgiven and that my sole purpose in life is to worship him and be a witness of his love and mercy to those around me. I am so thankful for Jesus' rescue of my soul. His mercy is why I am being baptized today.
Well, Gary, because you have heard the gospel and because you believe, because you trust in the one who bore your sins in his own body on the tree, because now with a changed heart like the Magi, you have fallen down and worshiped him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Angel. I grew up in a very traumatic household full of drug addiction, alcoholism, and unspeakable abuse. My little brother, Angelo, at 2 years old, was murdered when I was 5 years old by my mom's boyfriend. I saw my mom high, drunk, and doing unspeakable acts. After a year or so, I was put into foster care where I lived with multiple families. In order to get custody of me, my dad had to complete an extended alcoholic sobriety program, which he did. Once my dad and stepmom got me, I started attending a Baptist church with my siblings. At this time, I was introduced to God. I felt so happy knowing that being a Christian meant that I would see my brother again when I die. The church only taught through the KJV Bible, so as a child, I only ever opened my Bible when the pastor was reading because I had such a hard time trying to understand it. I grew up among Christians that believed that the Holy Spirit had the ability to take control of your body and tongue, but only selected the true believers. I also grew up among my paternal grandmother, who was a devout Mormon. I attended Mormon church services almost as much as I did Christian services. I was always 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and everything. The trauma of addiction, abuse, and lies are deeply rooted in my family, so we always strayed away from ever shining light on it because God wants us to forgive, love, and support one another, which always confused me. As a teenager, I would say I was a very spiritual person, praying to God whenever I could throughout my day. I also forgave my mom and my brother's murderer because I felt that God did not want me to have hate in my heart. So I thought I was a true Christian to be able to do such a thing. After graduating high school, I became pregnant and had my daughter at 19. I was living a very typical Native American life on the reservation. As 3 years passed, I finally made a years-long decision to end my relationship on my daughter's second birthday. At this time, I decided to step away from my faith because I felt that God was not hearing my prayers as he kept giving me trial after trial after trial. And because I did not have the unquestionable forgiveness, love, and support that I was told to have as a Christian growing up. As Luke 8:11 states, "And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no roots. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away." Soon after, I met my now husband, and we got married after 9 months of knowing each other. Since finding true love, I had to overcome many of the deeply rooted traumatic traits and perspectives I had. I thought I helped myself so well that I became prideful and began to pity others around me, which ultimately led to self-righteousness. 2024 was a big year for me. We moved into our first home, then a month later had our first son. I remember being freshly postpartum when my aunt-in-law said, "And people say God doesn't exist," while she gazed at our son. And I asked myself, "Does he?" Shortly after that, with a mixture of being postpartum, wishing my family was here, and feeling very lost and confused, fear entered my heart and broke it. I started having nightmares which fed the hate in me that was lingering and hiding in the depths of my heart. I was still so hurt and truly just sick and tired of myself. Soon, anger, rage, and depression overfilled me, and my righteousness was too heavy of a burden to carry myself. So this past September, I desperately asked my husband, an unbeliever who grew up in the church, what I should read to learn about this God people talk so highly of, admitting I knew nothing of him. He told me to read the Gospel of Matthew, and so I did, by myself, not telling anyone. I was met with so much confusion, I quietly asked God, like I was an inconvenience, to help me understand. On September 29th, my mother-in-law invited me to church while my husband was gone on a work trip, so we came. On that day, the choir sang, "How great thou art," so beautifully it was angelic. Quickly, I was focused in a way I was never before. Then Pastor Tom walked out and said that the church would be starting the book of Matthew. My body tingled and tears fell uncontrollably. It was clearly an answered prayer to be guided by the Lord. In that moment, I understood and accepted the fact that I was born a sinner, deserving of punishment, needing salvation, and will ultimately judged by my Creator. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, "God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Since coming to Christ, my heart is at peace. I see that my life has always been known and that all the trials only occurred to push me closer to God. Romans 5:1 states that, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I find gratitude in absolutely everything that's happened to me because now I'm here praising him for his mercy and love for me. I grow my walk with God by reading his word by reading his word to consciously work daily to be Christ-like. I admit and repent of my sins to show gratitude for Christ my Savior and pray for guidance to only grow in obedience. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so this is why I'm here to be baptized.
You know, Angel, as I listened to your story, I couldn't help but think of you as Ruth in the Old Testament, whom God in his mercy reached into her terrible darkness and drew her to himself. He's done that with you because you have trusted in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your only hope. Because your faith is in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Mary Lee Luna, and this is my testimony. My life before salvation could be described as worldly and living for myself. Growing up, I looked at the world to shape my values and morals. My mother was raised Catholic, but my father was not, so we attended the Catholic Church off and on most of the time without my dad. I was baptized as an infant and went to church sporadically, so church was just another activity to go to without any significant purpose or impact on my life. I continued into my late teens and early 20s living a worldly life centered around money, success, and self. I was, as Jesus describes in Matthew 7, on the broad road. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Matthew 7, 13b. The most important objective in my life was pleasing myself and gratifying the flesh. Romans 8, 5 through 6a states, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for the mind set on the flesh is death. My mind at that time was set on the flesh, and I didn't know that I was dead in my trespasses and sins, as Ephesians 2:1 tells us. But during a dark time in my life, after I had made some very bad choices, I had to come to the end of myself. God put a few key people in my life. They began exposing the truth about God and his word and about my condition without God. One was a special friend I met when we moved to Texas. She invited me to a women's Bible study, BSF. I think up to that point, I had only opened the Bible one time in college, so I knew very little about God or the Bible. The difference this time was I had an overwhelming desire and excitement to know God and what was in his word. It was primarily through the study of the Bible that opened my eyes to the truth about God and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In Genesis, my eyes and heart were opened to the truth about the fall of man and how sin entered the world. Prior to this, I thought all people were born basically good and their life either went one way or the other, and that determined what happened to them after they died. Through the ongoing study of God's word in Romans and other books in the New Testament, God showed me the truth about my sinful condition and the truth that there was nothing I could do. I needed a rescuer. I needed a savior. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was such good news that because of his amazing love, mercy, and grace, God made the way by sending his only son, Jesus, to save sinners like me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I saw the clear truth that I was a sinner in need of the only one who could save me, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 states, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I remember when I truly understood the truth of the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to give me an eternal life. It's like my stone heart was replaced by a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36:26. When I truly recognized and understood that I had rebelled and sinned against God, I was humbled and filled with sorrow. I remember kneeling down in the quietness of my home, repenting of my sin, and asking God for forgiveness and Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior and ruler of my life, putting my faith and trust in Him alone. The truth was absolute. He is the only way to be reconciled to holy God. I'm so grateful that in Christ I have His righteousness that He purchased by His blood shed on the cross to pay for my sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. My life since salvation has changed so much. I have an ongoing desire to know God and be in His Word daily. I look forward to attending church and being in the body of Christ here at Countryside. I have learned and am continuing to learn so much from the preaching of God's Word. I spend daily time in prayer and am currently going through the Partners Program. Actually, I finished it by this time. I love spending time with other Christians and serving alongside friends here at Countryside and BSF. I still struggle with sin and the battle with the flesh, but I know I have the Holy Spirit to convict and help me, and the Lord to forgive me as I confess and turn to Him for forgiveness and strength. I am so grateful to God for bringing me to repentance and faith in Him by His love and grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it's gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. My desire is to follow Christ, serve Him, deepen my love and strengthen my relationship with Him, and be obedient to His commands, and that is why I'm here to be baptized today.
Well, thank you, Mary Lee. We are so grateful for how the Lord has worked in your life through His Word. That's His power, isn't it, in our lives? Because you have confessed Jesus as Lord, and because you have believed in your heart everything the Scripture teaches about His person and work, and that God raised Him from the dead after He had died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Tatum Turner. I was raised in a Christian household, so I heard the basic truths about God. I heard that the Bible was true, Jesus had come to save us, God loves us, and we're all sinners. I'd heard all of this, but never truly understood what they meant. Before Christ, I was selfish, prideful, arrogant, and thought nobody else mattered except me. I was never truly happy. I believed that I was right in my own eyes, and that since my parents were saved, I was too. I had failed to recognize that I was included in Romans 3:23, when it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." One night, my mom was telling me the story she had just read to my little brother. It was Luke 16:19-31. It was about a rich man who had everything he wanted on earth, and Lazarus, who was poor. The rich man rejected God and went to hell. He begged God to let Lazarus go tell his family about Christ so that they would not be tortured. But it was too late. This thought scared me. I didn't want to die because I knew where I was headed. I started searching for answers on how to change. I started listening to sermons more closely and read my Bible more. During one of the lessons, I heard them say the word gospel, realized that after all my time at church, I had no idea what that truly meant. One verse that helped me understand was Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. I had done nothing right. Nothing I could ever do would be enough to earn me a spot in heaven. God is holy and demands perfection. I realize I can never do that on my own. Because of God's love and mercy, He sent His Son Jesus to be humbled and die for us and rise again to provide a way for us to be with Him. I had to confess and turn from my own sins, as it says in Romans 10:9. that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. After hearing these truths and finally understanding, I have repented from my sins and come to trust in the Lord. Now I strive to grow to be more like Christ. I still sin, but now I know I am forgiven. I now have true peace and joy and continue to develop the fruits of the Spirit. I work on living a disciplined life like it says in 1 Timothy 4, 7b-8. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, also the life to come. Since my heart has changed and I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, I read my Bible to know God's will and learn his characteristics. Psalms 1:2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." I attend Sunday morning service and Wednesday youth group to study God's word and understand what it says. My friends and family hold me accountable to stay focused and have biblical conversations to learn more. I want to show my love for others by telling them about what God has done in my life, and that is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Tatum, along with your family, many of us who've watched you grow up in this church rejoice in God's work in your life because you have clearly now come to understand the gospel, because your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, I know your heart was moved 10 times as mine was hearing their stories. If you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope there were a lot of things you heard, but I hope you heard this. I hope you heard the simple power of the gospel. You don't have to be perfectly articulate. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be any of those things. You just have to sow the seed. And the Holy Spirit takes that seed, and he uses it in the lives of people. So I hope you'll be faithful to do that. I also hope you'll be faithful to pray for those who shared their testimonies with us tonight. Maybe one of their stories really connected with you. Let them know that. Maybe you know some of them. Make sure you share with them. You'll be praying for them in the days ahead. Maybe you heard a story of someone you didn't know, and you want to just introduce yourself and let them know you appreciate it and were encouraged. I also want to say, if you're here tonight and you have never repented and believed in Jesus Christ yourself, I'm fairly sure that in one of these stories you heard your story. And it's my prayer that the gospel you heard, I shared it before we began, you've heard it 10 different ways, that that gospel will find root in your heart. And before this day is over, you will repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Just find yourself alone with God and throw yourself on his mercy. Like in the story that was shared with us in one of the testimonies Jesus told, where the tax collector simply beat on his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Literally what he says in the Greek text is, "Be propitiated to me. May your wrath be satisfied because of the sacrifice that's happening right now." In your case, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. You just cry out to God. Whoever will truly call on the name of the Lord, Paul says, will be saved. That's my prayer for you today. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are truly overwhelmed by your greatness, the greatness of your grace. Lord, you reached into these 10 lives and you changed them. Lord, from many different backgrounds and many different stories, and yet in every case, your grace was more than enough. And you saved them from their sins, from the penalty of their sins, from the power of their sin. You've changed their hearts. Lord, we thank you for the reality in their lives that have been pictured, that has been pictured here tonight in the water of baptism. The person they used to be is gone, dead, buried, and now they're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Lord, we rejoice in that, and we pray for them. Lord, continue your work in their lives as we pray you'd continue your work in our lives. And Lord, I also pray for those who may be here who have like all of the testimonies we heard tonight, at some point or other, they had not trusted in you. Lord, I pray that they would see that tonight. They would see their lostness, and they would understand the beauty and power of the gospel, that there is forgiveness, that there is a possibility of a relationship with you, their Creator. And Lord, I pray that tonight they would cry out to you. We pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus, our only Savior. Amen.